Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Centrum Electronics Q1 and FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Avendus Spark Institutional Equities. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jose. Thank you, and over to you, Jose.
Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Jose Haveliwala from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Centrum Electronics. On behalf of the company and Valorem Advisors, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the first quarter of the financial year 2027. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management beliefs as well as assumptions made by information currently available. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decision. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Nikhil Mallavarapu, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Sundararajan Parthasarathy, the Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Nikhil to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jose, and thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings conference call to discuss performance of the first quarter FY27. And let me extend a special thanks to our hosts at Avendus Spark for today's call. Let me start by taking you through the key business highlights for the quarter, after which our CFO, Mr. Sundararajan Parthasarathy, will take you through the financial performance in greater detail. We have started FY27 on a steady note, with revenue growth in our standalone business and continued strengthening of our strategic positioning across high-reliability electronics. At the outset, I would like to highlight that the first quarter was somewhat muted compared with our expectations for the full year, both in terms of growth and margins. This is primarily a function of the quarterly variations in project execution and revenue phasing, particularly in our build-to-spec business. Based on the momentum we are seeing across our businesses, our order pipeline, and customer engagements, we are confident that the stronger execution expected in the subsequent quarters will enable us to deliver against full-year growth objectives. As we mentioned consistently, we encourage investors to look at our performance and outlook on a full-year basis. During the quarter, standalone revenue grew 11% year-on-year to 205 crores, while we closed the quarter with a standalone order book of approximately 1,800 crores, representing a robust 31% year-on-year growth and providing strong visibility for future growth. One of the most significant developments during the quarter was the successful completion of the restructuring and exit from our overseas subsidiaries. As many of you would recall, we initiated this strategic exercise last year with the objective of sharpening our focus on our core India business and ensuring more disciplined capital allocation. During the quarter, the French court approved the acquisition of substantially all operating business and employees of Centrum T&S Group S.A. and certain subsidiaries to the successful bidders, which were MBDA and SII. Following the transfer, these entities ceased operating activities and were deconsolidated from our financial statements effective 4th of June 2026. Subsequently, the French court converted the process into liquidation judiciaire and appointed a judicial liquidator on 2nd July 2026 to oversee the remaining wind-down activities. Importantly, with the operating businesses now transferred and restructuring process substantially completed, we do not expect any further liabilities in relation to these subsidiaries. This allows us to put this chapter behind us and move forward with a much sharper focus on our core India ESDM platform, with greater management attention and capital directed towards our standalone business. Sundar will take you through the accounting impact of these developments in greater detail. Let me now move to our operational performance and business highlights. Our build-to-specification, or BTS, business continues to have a strong underlying demand environment. Revenue in the quarter was impacted by the project execution schedules, but our order book remained healthy and grew approximately 40% year-on-year. Looking ahead, we expect continued strong order intake through the year across several of our key programs, particularly in the areas of space, radar, electronic warfare, and air navigation. This gives us confidence in the growth trajectory of the BTS business as we move through the year. Our electronic manufacturing services, or EMS, business also continued to perform well, with the revenue growing 20% year-on-year and order book expanding 23% year-on-year. We are ramping up well with our semiconductor equipment customer demand, and the demand remains solid and is in line with our expectations for the current year. And importantly, based on customer engagements and opportunities we are seeing, we believe there is visibility to surpass our current expectations over the next 1 to 2 years. More broadly, we continue to see increasing opportunities across industrial automation, electrification, and grid automation. During the quarter, we received a strategic partner award from a leading global industrial and energy conglomerate. We value this recognition as a strong endorsement of our engineering capabilities, execution track record, and strong and long-standing customer relationship. This also reflects an important area of focus for Centum going forward. We are increasingly working with global customers who are implementing localization strategies in India while simultaneously responding to growing global demand for advanced electronics. We see an opportunity to leverage our engineering capabilities, manufacturing scale, and high reliability expertise to become a deeper partner to these customers as they localize and diversify their supply chains. As part of this strategy, we have initiated the NPI process for a number of electrification and grid automation products. These programs are expected to start contributing meaningfully to revenue growth over the next 2 years and provide another important growth avenue for our EMS business. Across our other focus areas, we are tightly integrating our engineering services and EMS teams to deliver differentiated design-led manufacturing solutions, enabling customers to seamlessly transition from product design to high-reliability manufacturing. This approach strengthens our value proposition, enhances customer engagement, and supports improved margin profiles. We have made encouraging progress in building this capability and are optimistic about securing our first DLM program wins in the coming quarters. Our objective remains to move further up the value chain by combining our design and engineering expertise with advanced manufacturing capabilities. In summary, with a robust order book, strong expected order intake, expanding customer engagements, and a healthy opportunity pipeline across both BTS and EMS, we believe Centum is well positioned to capitalize on these structural opportunities. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Sundararajan Parthasarathy, who will take you through the financial performance for the quarter in greater detail.
Thank you, Mr. Nikhil, and good afternoon, everyone. Let me now take you through the financial highlights for the first quarter of financial year 2027. At the standalone level, revenue from operations for the quarter stood at ₹205 crores, registering a healthy growth of approximately 11% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 23 crores, which translates into an EBITDA margin of 11.28%. Profit before tax stood at 18 crores, while profit after tax stood at 14 crores, with a PAT margin of 6.59%. While margins during this quarter were impacted by relatively lower contribution from the BTS business, we expect the revenue mix to improve as execution on key BTS programs accelerate over the coming quarters. Before I move to the consolidated performance, let me briefly touch upon the accounting impact of the overseas restructuring. During the quarter, following the approval of the French court and the transfer of substantially all operating businesses and employees to the successful bidders, the overseas entities were deconsolidated effective 4th of June. Consequently, the financial statements reflect a one-time profit on deconsolidation of rupees 94 crores, while the remaining entities are now under liquidation proceedings. These developments provide greater transparency into the performance of our continuing operations and sharpen our focus on the core India business. Coming to the consolidated financial performance, revenue from operations for the quarter stood at INR 204 crores, representing a growth of approximately 14% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at 24 crores with an EBITDA margin of 11.56%. Profit from continuing operations after tax stood at INR 11 crores, and including the one-time gain arising out of the deconsolidation of the overseas subsidiaries, the consolidated profit after tax for the quarter stood at INR 106 crores. Our overall performance continues to reflect the resilience of our core India operations, well supported by healthy execution across both our BTS and EMS businesses, robust order inflows, and sustained demand across strategic sectors including defense, aerospace, semiconductor equipment, industrial automation, and energy. We also closed the quarter with a standalone order book of approximately rupees 1800 crores, up 31% year-on-year, and strong order inflow for the quarter that stood at INR 360 crores approximately, that grew by approximately 70% year-on-year, which was mainly influenced by BTS registering a robust 150% year-on-year growth at 120 crores. This provides a strong revenue visibility for the coming years. Overall, we remain confident in the strength of our business fundamentals. With a focused India ESGM platform, a healthy order book, expanding customer engagements, and a strong opportunity pipeline across both BTS and EMS businesses, we believe the company is well positioned to deliver sustainable long-term growth. With that, we can now open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with a question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sai Vijay with Capstock Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the BTS segment. So given the higher project life cycle of over 2.5 years, our order book has almost doubled since FY24. So can we expect an accelerated revenue recognition going forward for the BTS segment?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ajay. The simple answer is yes. With the increased order intake that we've had, we expect to have, clear, strong revenue growth in the BTS business in this year and the coming years also. Like I mentioned, a call, which is so there is a high level of quarterly variation, but on a full year basis, they're very confident. Pretty healthy.
I'm sorry, sir, but your voice is breaking.
Okay, so I was just explaining that we do absolutely expect that there will be a healthy growth of the revenue in BTS segment as a result of the increased order book. We have some quarterly variations because of the lumpy nature of this business and the contract. but on a full year basis, we expect to have a strong growth in revenue.
All right. Sir, and just one doubt regarding the advances. Around 210 crores of advances that we currently have, how much of it is coming from the BTS segment?
So I would say, majority of that is coming from the BTS segment only, given the nature of the business.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Very helpful.
Right. So two-thirds is coming from the BTS.
All right. All right. Thank you very much, sir. I'll, and congrats on the results. I'll get back on that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Pratik Srivastava with Nivesh Wisdom. Please go ahead.
Yeah, again, congratulations on a great set of numbers and great progress in the BTS segment. My question is about the semiconductor equipment. Sir, this has been referenced in the call also many times. I just want to understand, you know, what the semiconductor equipment. Can you just give more details on this semiconductor equipment? Again, and then who are the customers? Have you signed any large global player in that? So just want more details on the semiconductor equipment, sir.
Sure. Thanks for the question, Pratik. Yes, so first of all, what we. This is part of our EMS business, so it is essentially where we are manufacturing various types of box builds and PCBAs that go into the equipment used in manufacturing semiconductors. So if you talk about the processes such as photolithography or etching and so some of these critical processes that actually enable the manufacturing of semiconductors, they are supplied largely by a few, very few large global OEMs that supply these equipment to the foundries, essentially. And in terms of where we are, this is a. We have a global OEM, one of these key global OEMs that we have added as a customer, and we have ramped up over the course of the last year, and we continue to, you know, ramp up in terms of new part numbers and products that we're delivering. On previous calls and so on, I had mentioned that our revenue, which was from this segment, which was practically zero in FY 2025, was in excess of 10 million or, you know, over 100 crores of revenue contribution in FY 2026. And we expect this to get to a, you know, in the range of 25 million-30 million in the coming one to two years. And this is where we are seeing a strong visibility, and we are on, you know, it's in line with our expectations.
Got it, sir. And since this is EMS and not BTS, what are the margins in this business, and what are the margins we are looking forward in future in this business, sir?
Yeah. With the EMS business, in considering the sectors that we are addressing, these will be in the range of about 10% EBITDA. They can vary slightly, a little bit up and down, depending on the customer and the segment a little bit, but I would say not a huge amount of variation. Typically, this being a cost-plus model, 10%-11% is a fairly, you know, a benchmark, you know, EBITDA margin, so.
And in future, can we use the learnings from this and get more into sort of BTS sort of a model, where the margins could be higher in this segment?
Yeah. So, you know, this is where I was addressing the point around the design-led manufacturing, where we are. While we have a BTS, we run our BTS separately, in the form of, you know, actually building products for defense and space and so on. We also had an engineering services team which was originally intended or created for this overseas subsidiary that we've had. With that being basically behind us now, we are refocusing this part of our business to work very closely with our EMS team and our EMS customers to offer more end-to-end solutions or design-led manufacturing solutions. As those progress, we do expect to have a higher margin contribution from those businesses.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question, sir, and all the very best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Darshan Gala with Gala Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi. Hi, sir. You were just explaining how the margins would be much higher in the semiconductor part of the business. When can we expect those revenue to start meaningfully contribute?
I didn't talk about higher margins in semiconductor. I said the revenue growth, we have a good visibility on semiconductor, but this is fundamentally EMS business.
Correct.
The margin
growth
will stay at around 11%. Yeah.
Correct. Sorry on that. About the revenue part, when can it start meaningfully contribute?
Darshan, hi. Like you mentioned, FY 2026 itself on started to come in, which was 700.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, management. Your voice is breaking.
Is this any better?
Slightly better, I can say, sir, but still breaking.
How about this? Is this okay?
Yes, this is loud and clear. Thank you, sir. You may proceed.
Okay. Yeah, I was explaining to Darshan that the contribution of revenue from this business was zero in FY 2025, and it ramped up to 100 crores in last year, more than 100 crores. We expect this to kind of double or triple in the next 2 years. You will see that coming in this year as well as it will further ramp up in the next year. That's what we see.
Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Yep.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Karan Samwal with Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Wanted to understand something in line with what previous participant asked. Semiconductor, we have already ramped up the semiconductor division pretty well in the last 2 quarters, maybe Q4 and Q3. Should this execution remain stable and the customer tests our product in the real conditions? Would there be a linear growth or there can also be an exponential growth as we also qualify the simultaneous other parts for the same customer?
Let me make sure I've understood the question correctly, Karan. Your question was with regard to the semiconductor equipment, if these have been tested and validated in the real environment. Your second question was with regard to growth, whether you see that it's an exponential growth or linear growth. Is my understanding correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. To your first question, absolutely, they are in production. This is, first of all, a very highly recurring business. You will have maybe certain variability that comes with longer capex cycles in the broader semiconductor manufacturing industry. But at least for the next 2 years or 3 years, there is a fairly strong visibility in terms of the demand in the industry. And as a qualified partner for these global OEMs, these products typically have very long product life cycles, and so we have a fairly good level of recurring revenue from this part of the business. Also, in the last year itself, for all the products that are already in production, we have gone through the full qualification process and requirements. So that is behind us, and now it is in serial production. But we continue to add also new part numbers from these customer, and as and when we do that, they will go through their respective qualification processes and then go into production after. So I would say we are very well integrated and now in a fairly mature process in the supply chain. Your second question about growth, I think, as we mentioned, this has already been a very steep and strong growth, considering the fact that this was pretty much zero in terms of revenue in FY25, exceeding 100 crores in FY26. And as Sundar was mentioning, we expect it to more than double, going forward in the coming year and so on. So clearly a steep growth over these couple of years. And we expect, of course, that it will stabilize at a point in the next maybe 1 to 2 years, and then it should be fairly stable after that.
So it would still be a recurring demand after 1 to 2 years, right?
Yes.
Understood. And for the product that we are manufacturing for this semiconductor equipment players, who are we competing with in India, and or are we competing with players in other geographies? Where is the competition placed in position for the product that we are already manufacturing or will be manufacturing in future for the semiconductor plan?
So, in terms of EMS manufacturing,
sorry to interrupt you, management. Again, your voice is breaking.
Yeah. So I was saying that with regard to the competition, as far as PCBA and box build manufacturing for EMS type of business, we are the main supplier in India. We are their first major supplier in India. Our main competition is in Southeast Asia, basically in Malaysia. So there's nobody, I would say, in India that we would directly be competing as far as EMS business is concerned. Having said that, they are adding other parts of the supply chain, and so there are other good companies that have been benefiting from the general shift that they are looking in terms of increasing their overall spend and sourcing from India. So
understood. Also, are we in talks with some other semiconductor clients for similar products, or we can't supply to the similar products to other their competition, basically the customer's competition? How is the understanding over there?
These first of all, in the EMS business, the design and the IP of the product belongs to the customer, so we are not allowed to sell the same product to other players in the space. Having said that, we are in some preliminary level discussions with other customers also, who are looking at India as a supply base for their, you know, as part of their sourcing and supply chain strategy. So, but that's still at a early stage. You know, we will update that as we progress.
Understood. One last question.
Thank you. Karan, sorry to interrupt. Can I request you to come back for a follow-up, please? Thank you. Next question is from the line of Alok Shah from Shree PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, sir, I had two questions. First is that, can you throw some light that how India is evolving into the space industry, and what are the opportunities that ISRO can give us in next two to three or 4 years? And my second question is, the space-based surveillance program that was initiated during Operation Sindoor, I think. So, where it is now, what is the opportunity we will get, and can you throw some light on that also, sir? Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The space opportunity is quite an exciting one, I would say. You know, we have been in the space now for over 25 years or close to 25 years, and you know, moved along the value chain from doing niche components to modules to subsystems to now building complete payloads. And our objective is to go further also into satellite integration and so on as we move forward. In terms of the broader ecosystem, I think there's been a lot of positive development in the form of startups coming with very good and innovative solutions. You all must have recently seen the success of the Skyroot launch vehicle, I think, which is a major milestone for the country. So there is clearly a lot of innovation. There is clearly, from a demand perspective also, you know, a need coming in from various different end-use applications. As far as we are concerned, the major end applications that we are addressing today are largely for defense and military requirements. But there are also certain contributions that go into scientific missions and some communication kind of equipment also. And with regard to your question regarding the SBS program, this is, you know, is moving well. We have started to book some good orders from this program, and we expect in this year that we will have a very strong order intake coming from this program, essentially. So we are quite positive about that, and you know, apart from that, we are also executing a major program for payloads, or electronic warfare-based payloads. Not specifically part of SBS program, but very, very closely aligned with it. And we expect those also, once delivered, will have repeat requirements in the coming years as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Harish Subramanian with Unifi Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Nikhil. Good afternoon, Sundar. My question was on the BTS segment, where the order book has inched up over time. So as far as the revenue mix is concerned, do you see it sustainably move beyond the 70-30 sort of a ratio, much in favor of BTS in a sustainable manner? So that is the first question.
Got it. Thanks, Harish, for the question. So I think fundamentally, first of all, we are seeing strong growth happening in both the businesses. We may see in 1 year, maybe in the very short term, 1 year or 2 years, you may have slightly a little bit higher contribution from the BTS, but I would not say it is hugely different. I mean, we may have a, instead of 70-30 split, it may marginally be favorable towards the BTS side, but again, not hugely, drastically different from a split standpoint.
Okay. Another one on the revenue growth. You'd say that medium-term target in terms of revenue growth for the India business is at 25% plus. But for this year, do you think you'll still maintain that, or will that be any thing less than 25% in terms of revenue growth?
We will, Harish, we are confident of reaching that 25% level, and we'll maintain that for now. We don't see any reason to change it significantly based on the order book trend and the projects that are under execution. Yeah.
Okay, understood. Just a last question for me on the new mix that you mentioned. The last question on the new wins that you mentioned on aerospace and defense application, the complex test systems. If you can talk a bit more on that and what it can open up.
Yeah, this is a part of what we deliver to our export customers. It's part of our, I would say, value-added engineering service offering that we give to our EMS customers. Roughly about I think 55 odd crore order that we received from this export customer for this program. I would say the nature of this business is it is, a test bench or a test system is not always a recurring type of revenue. They are based on application specific or, they come up from time to time. So it is volatile in terms of demand. You have certain years where you have high order intake and certain others which are lower, but this one is a particularly substantial one that we received, and we continue to offer this as a solution to differentiate ourselves with our major customers, and it has a small revenue contribution. I would not say from a revenue standpoint it's going to make a big impact in terms of the future prospects for the company.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, Nikhil. Thank you, Sundar.
Thanks, Harish.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Diya Jain with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So can you provide any guidance for FY27 and FY28 in terms of revenue and margins? And also how the split of export and domestic is going to be going forward?
Yeah. Yes, so we still maintain the similar trend of about 25% on the revenue growth for this year, and for next year also, that's the visibility that we see as now. And the margins, last year we reported about 12.5%. We are aiming to move it up and above about 13%, and that could remain stable or slightly improve in the next year. But of course, it's too early to comment on the next year. We need to look at the order profile as we keep booking the orders during the year. And in terms of our export composition, I think it will still remain in the order of about 50 to 55% or even maybe higher, given the orders that we see on the growth that we see in EMS, but it could be in the same range also. No, nothing much expected to change.
Okay, so thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Darshan Gala with Gala Investment. As a follow-up question, please go ahead.
No, my questions have already been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Vinit Khanna, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Nikhil, question for you. In the previous calls, you have updated or shared details about some of the BTS-related initiatives you have done. In particular, the one which you had done for Virupaksha, the second one being a recent win you had for the helicopter platform for AESA radar. And another initiative was with, I think, Garden Ridge Shipbuilder, where, some upgrade was there for the electronic subsystems. Can you just provide a current update in terms of where we stand with respect to these?
Yes, sure. Thanks. Thanks for the question, Vinit. So yeah, we're quite excited, making good progress on all of these programs. So with both the Virupaksha and the UHM programs, these are development programs. So we have completed, I would say, the first phase of on the UHM. At least we've completed the first phase of the critical or the design reviews and so on, and we are in the well underway in terms of the realization of the first prototypes for the program. So things are moving well, and we expect to have these to have these first protos in the next year successfully demonstrated to the customer and subsequently deliver the order, after which we will be waiting for HAL to look at the serial production quantities. So in short, it's progressing well. Virupaksha also, we are in the design of the product. We expect also to have those development orders completed maybe in Q4 or Q1 Q4 or Q1. And with the Takan system also, similar progress in terms of the delivery and the development. This is a technology partnership that we've established, so it doesn't involve a significant amount. There is some localization design engineering work that is being done, which is actually an important part of the development effort here. But it is progressing well, and this again, in the beginning of next year, we expect to have the first deliveries done. And also, we are very closely, monitoring and rating, some further orders for this system in the coming one or two quarters.
Okay, thanks, Nikhil. Just to follow up on, I think there was some discussion previous calls about direct engagement with armed forces. So far our engagements are mostly with defense PSUs or DRDO and ISRO. How are we tracking on direct engagements, or are there opportunities which are emerging in that space?
Those also are progressing well. I mean, even when we talk about some of these system level opportunities, although our direct customer may be a PSU like HAL or GRSE and so on, these systems are very critical to the platform and capabilities. So there is already an enhanced level of engagement that we are having with the end users. But beyond that as well, we are also in various levels of discussion and answering RFIs and so on full system kind of opportunities with the armed forces directly.
Yeah.
So these are, I would say they're in progress, but we will update as and when they come to a higher level of maturity.
Thank you. Just one last one is on, from your side, you highlighted the four bullet points in the BTS section of the slide. Is there anything which you want to share in terms of, something new which is happening, which probably slide is not capturing? You are doing some work which potentially is something or seeding something which has some potential. I mean, just share some color on if something is not captured in that slide, which you want to share maybe verbally.
I think there's a lot happening in this side of the business that much more than we can capture, I would say, in four bullet points. But I would say there's clearly a major ramp up that we are doing in terms of engineering team and capability, across different skill sets. And also focused more on the objective of our system integration objective. So we are bringing in new talent and people that will enable us to get there, and also to ensure that we are executing and delivering these new programs and answering other new opportunities to the right level of satisfaction of the customers. So I would say at a high level, that's the main thing I would maybe add colors to what's actually happening.
Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Preet Gopani with Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. I just have one question in continuation with the last participant. So in your AGM yesterday, you had alluded that, we are trying to work with a global customer in the BTS space. And, and the opportunity is not far away. So can you just elaborate a little bit on that? How big of a business can global BTS be for us?
This is a specific opportunity that we were talking about with regard to BTS for a export customer, specifically around electronic warfare. This is a beginning for us. There are various levels of discussion happening with various different customers. It's a little bit early to quantify what it could be in several years, but I think there is clearly a need and a demand for this, and as we close some of these opportunities, they will have a meaningful contribution both in terms of revenue and margin to the overall business.
On a broader level, once businesses like this, say, let's say global BTS starts contributing to our P&L, do you think that it will be at a higher margin than, the BTS that we do here, the domestic BTS business?
I would say still probably still targeting around that 20 plus percent kind of margin profile. But the main difference, which is the reason why we like export BTS business in some of these cases, is that they are not all tender based. You know, you it's not a L1 type of business where it's 0 or 1. Mm-hmm. You know, they are typically have a you know, relationship with a customer that you can come to a reasonable agreement on some of these things. So that's what we like about some of these export kind of opportunities. Of course, once these systems that we have built, you know, whether it's like the one that we're doing for the UHM some of the other products that we're developing, there will be major demand for those type of equipment and systems, for overseas customers. We have not yet come to a stage where we are answering, opportunities, because we're still at the development stage. But when those come, which are system level opportunities for exports, those can absolutely have a higher level of margin profile, even beyond.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alok Shah with SRE PMS. Please go ahead.
Sir, just one last question. We had executed a groundbreaking ceremony at KIDB Aerospace Park at Bangalore. So can you let me know what is the status? Have we started construction of the facility? And secondly, what is the CAPEX plans for this year and next year? Thank you.
Sure. So this one, the design stage is complete, and we'll be starting the construction soon. However, this is not the land belongs to another group company, private limited company. So we don't have to invest anything from Centrum Electronics in this year. So next year, once the shell is ready, as we start building the factory and all the MEP HVAC systems and so on, and clean room, dry room, ordering, plant machinery and so on, that towards the end of next fiscal, the CapEx flow could start. And on the whole, high-level estimate is about, I can say, anywhere between 50 and 70 crores, but we'll get to know more as we do the budgeting for the next fiscal. We'll update.
Okay, so thanks. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ashit Koti with an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand with regards to various opportunities available, where do we stand vis-a-vis competition, major competitors, like in different areas where we are operating? Hello.
I would speak about specific competitors. But I would say broadly, we have two businesses which we have described: EMS and the domestic defense and space products, or BTS business. We have different sets of competitors. For each of these businesses, they are not the same. I would say, with regard to our positioning, I think there are certain areas, especially if you talk about the BTS side of the business, where, we in certain areas, especially things like space, where we are, I would say, quite ahead in terms of our capability and the history in the domain. And we are making very, very good and strong progress from a systems perspective on things like radar and EW, where there are some competitors that have been there maybe a little bit ahead of us, but from a capability standpoint, I think we are, you know, we're quite, I would say, on par, you know, in these areas. On the EMS side of the business also, I think, you know, we have certain segments and differentiators where, especially when it comes to export customers, some unique manufacturing requirements, supply chain complexity. These are all things that I think we understand quite well, and you know, we consistently see that when we work with these customers, that they have a strong preference to work with us. I think on certain the areas that maybe when it comes to very high volume type of business, you know, things like consumer electronics and so on, that's where probably you know, that's not our cup of tea. Our competitors have a set up an ecosystem much more aligned and tuned for the, those type of segments. That's in short. Yeah.
The reason why this question was like companies like Astra or Database and a couple of other players which are specializing, and are they ahead of us?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you know, there's two things. One is there are areas that we are ahead compared to them in space and so on. There are other areas where they have been in the business for, or you know, in these specific domains at least for longer than us. But from a capability standpoint, as I mentioned, we are I would say quite close to being on par.
Okay, so
these are the top competitors that we deal on with very various projects. I mean, as I mentioned, you know, even on the UHM program, there were, when we had qualified for that, there were more than 10 bidders who were interested to participate, but only three shortlisted, and of which we were L1. So I would say some of these are good, you know, case studies in terms of proof proof in point in terms of capability recognition.
So who are the other two?
I cannot disclose that.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks. Thank you, and over to you, team.
Sure. Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please do reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you so much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Centrum Electronics, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.